podcast.
KellerKellerOfficial.com.
You need the Kellervision app. 24/7 mini documentaries, podcasts, live shows, DJ live streams, top fives, subscription packages, plus products for all your podcasts and street culture sports. Download it from the App Store for free today.
Beatbox created.
KellerKeller.
And we're here to talk about world music and street culture.
KellerKeller Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, Killer Keller Podcast, live and direct, Central London, or Central as you need to be, could be, or want to be. You know the drill, you know the outcome. I say it every week. Free download, Kellervision app, street culture, and more. If you're into the sport of art, then we've got you. Free download, Android, iPhone. Big shout out to graffitikings.co.uk. Man, what are you saying? Yeah, we're zooming it. We're going across country to a man with his vocal elasticity. I'm the fan. I'm the fan first, man. Sam Henshaw inside the place. What are we saying?
Good, man, I'm good. How are you?
I'm better now. I'm better now, boy.
Bless you. Bless you. Thank you for having me, man.
It's all good. How are you? How's it going?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm in a zone. I don't know what zone it is, but I'm in one and I'm just kind of like, all right, cool. I'm just kind of accepting what it is and going with it. But I'm good.
You know what I think it is? I think what's thrown us here is for the last year and a half, we've been in a place that we do not know what we're doing in.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden you're allowed and we're out and fuck, the sun's shining. Like,
yeah.
Hold on, there's got to be something wrong here.
It almost feels too good to be true almost. You're kind of just like, what? Like, I'm allowed to do stuff? Like, it's just, yeah, it's proper weird.
And what's cold is like the application of all the things we've learned throughout the year and a bit, in our hibernation, things like this, it's almost like come to fruition. It's actually so fucking cool that we can do the Zoom and, you know, in our hectic schedules and it not feel a thing.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Yeah, it's interesting to be able to, that we're in this place now, that we get, that we actually are, we have the ability to like do these types of things. It's great.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. And for those of you that don't know about the Sam Henshaw, it's absolutely fine. You go online and you check some of the most harmonious musical elements that are out there. Like, I went into a couple of rabbit holes over the last few days, my friend.
Oh, man.
So sick, mate.
Oh, I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
And a little bit of me is like, you know, because you know when you've heard the name of a person, but complacently, you just... You know that they exist as music, but you don't know how deep. And they're always there. They're in your peripheral, so you don't you know it's gonna come, but you just don't get there.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
You know what I'm saying?
I do that with a lot of artists where I'm like, oh yeah, I know who that is, but I'm like, I actually need to like. It takes me a while before I make the conscious decision to actually go and like. Dive deeply into it.
But why is that? Why do we do that as people?
I don't know. Maybe it's like, it could be like, I don't know. Sometimes I just feel like maybe it's a bit of laziness from my part where I'm just like, it's like, oh yeah, procrastination almost. Like, oh, I'll do that tomorrow. I'll do that another day. But then I think there's also maybe another side of it where it's a bit more like, it takes a lot. To actually, I think maybe sometimes knowing that you need to, that if you're going to go and listen to something or someone, you're actually going to go quite deep into it. And so maybe it's just that idea of like, oh, I need to brace myself and sort of prep myself and feel like I'm kind of somewhat ready before I dive deeply into that thing. I don't know.
I think you're right. I think there's a bit of that. I was talking to... a friend the other day, we were talking about MF Doom.
Yeah.
And there was just this moment of pause and clarity as to, because as an artist, he's got such a back catalogue and legacy.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether you know of MF Doom's music or not, you'll know the face mask. Do you know what I mean?
100%. Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? So it's just this sort of like, he's this entity that's always there.
Yeah.
And to know that he's not there, and to not have, I don't know, it's not that people weren't giving him his flowers or anything, but it's just, you just presume it's going to be forever.
Yeah, Yeah, it's like Prince as well. It's it kind of is like taking those people for granted to a degree, because we're like, you know, when they are around, it's like, oh yeah, they'll be there forever. And then, you know, obviously, like the music wise and legacy wise, they always will. But it's like, oh man, I'm never going to be able to see that person in a concert now. I'm never going to, you know, which has become a big thing for me. Actually, I'm sort of like, I need to, if there's someone that is still alive today that I need to see in concert, I'm going to make sure I go to that gig.
With both feet jumping in it.
Yeah, man. Cause you never know. You never know. The way people are like going now, it's just kind of, you know, we're human. So
yeah.
Excuse me. I'm eating grapes.
No, it's all right. You're good. Hey, listen, this, whatever makes you comfortable, bro. It's your podcast. You're killing it. And I've got so much ammo to offload on you. I've got so many questions, but you know, in terms of like, Prince, man, I mean, listen, again, this is your podcast. I'm taking it. This is very much an influence of yours, because when I hear you, your vocal, I mean, the freedom in which I think you write and you express yourself, it leans to an era of integrity such as Prince, doesn't it?
I appreciate that, man. It means a lot.
True.
A lot. Thank you.
The numbers don't lie, bro. So I guess the inspiration, would Prince be, I'm assuming he's up there.
Definitely. He did things that, it's weird because I always, a lot of what I, when I listen to someone like Prince, or I don't know, even if I like watch a movie or something from, you know, the 80s, 90s, 70s, whenever it was, just the time before now. I always wonder, like, what that must have felt like to hear and see those things at that time, and it being the first of whatever it was. And when I think about someone like Prince, and the fact that he really was just doing stuff that no one was doing at that time. He was just so unique. And so whenever I listen to him, and just like, you know, lyrically, you know, obviously musically, and just the things that he was doing and the stuff that he was just, it was just insane to me to think that that was happening at that time. And I think that made him way more, when I listen to what he does, it's just that much more special to me. And especially as you know, yeah, as a black man, I guess during that time as well, just what he was doing was just, you're kind of just like, wow, that wasn't it wasn't normal. Like people really don't recognize how unique of an individual musician and just artist Prince was, just in everything that he did. You know, even down to the way that he dressed, just everything about him was just so unique.
And, you know what? You were so right. You're so right.
Yeah. It was insane. Because you had people that had done a bunch of that stuff. You had people like Little Richard, and then a ton of other people that had done stuff like that. And they were, you know, pioneers and stuff at the time. Sure. But when I think about just, there was just something very unique about the way Prince was, and just the way he did things, that was just, it was mind blowing. So I think whenever I you know, listen.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Cause you know, there was precursors, like the precursor to, because there was the Little Richards.
Yeah. There was always going to be people that, were precursors to him.
Yeah. But had the DNA, like Funkadelic, you know, George Clinton. It was almost like he became this, and this was of an era of ambiguousness and sexuality. You know, other comparables would argue, you know, particularly of ethnicity, Grace Jones, Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
You know, these people were actually celebrating their total and utter creative freedom at the same time. In the 80s and 90s were crazy for that shit too.
Yeah.
It was almost like
it was insane.
Perfect moment of hey, here's Prince.
It was insane. And then, I mean, when you just even think about the fact that, like, he was a bad boy guitarist. Like, he was so sick on guitar.
Fucking Eddie Van Halen, Jimi Hendrix.
Of course. And then you got people like Jimi Hendrix. But even when I think about just what Prince did, it was just, it really felt like it was just something so special about it. And on top of that, just being an amazing writer. But yeah, like he really was an incredible musician. So yeah, when I think about like just the stuff that he done and the versatility as well in what he created, it wasn't just like you heard him and just went, oh, like you knew Prince could create anything.
Yeah.
You know, you knew he could create anything he was a genius.
The reason why we're getting into this is because I feel like for artistry, particularly in this era of musical preference and the way that, you know, a lot of things get bottleneck into the grime label. And that's fine, but you know, when you take accounts of like these heroes, these past creatives that made millions and millions of dollars, sold millions and millions of records, made a life out of it, they became like these, basically these creative funnels they had stories associated, you know, and the urban myths, the folklore of like what Prince used to get up to.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, ultimately what it boiled down to is that his artistry and a lot of other artists similar, they lived it to that. They ran the world dry. They just lived that shit. And I often think to myself, you know, how many artists out there, comment below, please. How many artists out there actually go that fucking distance to achieve the turnaround that it takes, embodying every single aspect of their creative being?
Yeah, I was having a similar conversation with someone the other day about it, and the idea that it's a little harder now. Well, let me not say harder. Let me think about how I'm saying this. But basically, the idea that we were discussing was this: it was this idea of a lot of those artists back in the day there were like boundaries for them. And it was a reflection of the times, obviously. And that a lot of them had like boundaries because the society was the way it was. And so through that, they had obstacles that they had to face, and which meant that, you know, the stories were, everything that they did, basically what I'm getting at is that like everything that they did came from like a real genuine place, because they were like suffering for their art. It was, they were like going through stuff that made it have to be what it was. Even when you think about, you know, old Negro spirituals, where that came from and what that's helped create in regards to like gospel music, which then went on to create like soul, which, you know, helped create blues and all these different
Muddy Waters and all that.
Yeah, it all came from real life challenges, stories, and things that they just weren't, you know, it was a difficult time for just people back then. And so imagine that then being translated into art. It was you know, near enough impossible. And all of these people were just, you know, even when you think about people like Marvin Gaye, you think about everyone at the time was going through some type of challenge that they needed to face. That's not to say that's not the same case now. I just do think the point I was getting to is that because of that, they were living out what they really were talking about and what they were singing, and everything
in
that
real
you
time.
Were in real time. So everything you were seeing was a genuine, it was them. It was genuinely them. Whereas now I think we live in a time where it's a lot easier. Everything now is about image. So I think it's a lot easier to present Not saying this is for every single artist, but it is a lot easier nowadays for artists to present themselves as something they're not.
Yeah.
Because it's...
Packs.
You get what I mean? It's gonna, like, it, because it just looks better and it works for whatever the brand is at that moment in time. But it, you know, a lot of those people really lived what they were singing about, what they were writing about, what they were preaching, whatever. And a lot of people actually went through genuine experiences. I think we're a little bit more privileged now. And it's a little easier for us to not really need to, do any of that. There's, you know, it's interesting. It was an interesting conversation that we had. It's
all of that, isn't it? But it's an exception to this, like with your work, particularly with the Still Broke tune, the plight, the anxieties, the things that make life what it is. By the way, you need to check this new tune out by Sam Henshaw. It's fire.
Appreciate it.
I feel like you're suggestive enough in... It's almost like if you're too blatant with the message you're trying to get across, it becomes a bit, oh, we've heard that before. People have heard so much music. They know where you're going before you've even said the first verse.
Yeah.
Before the first part of the verse. So you've got to be the hook, the catchment of the whole song. It lays on the suggestions and the narration without drilling it down people's voice. You seem to have that. You've achieved that in this song, I feel.
Appreciate that. Yeah, I wanted to make people think without giving it to them in a way that felt preachy or felt like it was something that they've heard a million times.
Yeah.
And I think, and sometimes, you know, sometimes I think it's just nice to give people things that make them think, you know. I don't think that everything we need is to make us... I'll put it this way. There's enough artists in the world that are doing things that are making people feel good. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes I just want people to think. Or like, you know, mainly because I went through that situation. A lot of this came from thinking and thought process, having a thought process and, you know, just going through stuff. And it's like sometimes I can't really remember. I mean, mind you, I've not really been listening to like a whole ton of music that has lyrics and vocals in it. But yeah, I can't really remember the last time I listened to something that just kind of made me go, huh. And I really just pondered on the idea of the song for like a really long time. Like I just sat down and was just thinking about what this person was saying. And really, you know what I mean? Cracking my brain about it. And, you know, even with the video, it was the same thing. I didn't want it to be this very obvious, oh, that's what he's talking about. I wanted people to take time to figure it out. Do you know what I mean? And if you needed to, go back to it. And, I think it's important. I think that, you know, it's, yes, the world's in a place where we need to have things that make us feel somewhat better, but that doesn't last long.
Nah.
You know what I mean? And so I'd rather be put in a position where I take time to actually think about something.
Challenging the intellect.
Yeah, we need to be challenged. When you look at the way that the world is at the moment, people have just been, you know, giving someone something that feels good because you've been feeling pretty crappy for a while. You know, that's at the end of the day that you're feeding the comfort and you're feeding the complacency. And
yeah,
you know, that's what we've been. When you think about everything that happened last year with the George Floyd thing and, you know, BLM, it was people were being challenged because we had been too comfortable for too long as a society.
Yeah, that's right. And there's a PTSD to that. There's a knock-on effect after a year that we've had.
Yeah, Yeah, you know what I mean. Even with, yeah, not even necessarily just the Black Lives Matter thing. When you think about what happened with the Asian hate thing that's happened this year. All these things that, you know, you're looking at stuff that's happening between Israel and Palestine and all that sort of stuff. It's stuff that we've just kind of sat down and we've not taken our time to think about because the idea of thinking about it is too exhausting.
Yeah,
the idea of like having to deal with it is too exhausting, but then we can't sit down and say that we want to see change, and we can't sit down and say that we want, you know, it's just, I think there's got to be things in life that push us forward, not just as people but as a society.
And there's a time for protest music, but in 2021, moving into 2022, it's how you present that,
how you do it. 100%, yeah,
crazy, because there's loads of, so you know, there's a song for everyone out there, and there's a protest song for everyone out there.
Yeah,
there's space that's been covered, but it's cutting through the old noise and making your stake in the ground. Is like, yeah, that, because this is wrong. Do you know what I mean? It's such a balancing act, isn't it?
The thing that I also noticed as well was I realized for myself, I can't write protest music. I can't, like, I mean, I probably can, but like, I don't want to, because I. As a consumer of music, I probably wouldn't listen to it myself because sometimes it just feels a bit too heavy. So I think with me, I was like, how do I make sure that someone can hear what is being said without it feeling like I'm nagging or I'm, you know, preaching? And
it's such a fine line because you know that person. Yeah.
And I came to this conclusion that I'd rather talk to an individual because I know what I've gone through as just an individual, and the conversations I've had and the things that have challenged me and helped me go, oh, how do I make an adjustment? How do I make a change, which then can maybe affect someone else? Mm. And so for me now, when I make music, I'm not making it for, I think I've said it before, but I don't make it for like the masses. I don't make it for a bunch of people. I make it for one person, and hopefully that one person will hear what I've said and move it on to the next person, and they'll move it on to the next person. It just becomes this domino effect.
Yeah.
I think we're all individuals and we all think individually. And so if I can actually help change one person's, not even necessarily change, but if I could have one person just open their minds to a different thought, then, you know, mission accomplished, you know what I mean?
For real.
Yeah.
People see the fucking numbers and they think that they've got to try and appease that many people. It's one step at a time and it's one ear at a time. And you've gone through major labels, you've gone through all these different walks of life that, you know, ultimately determine a reaction. For me, that just seems like, yeah, of course, it's a no-brainer. You want to be the shopkeeper of your shop and cater to each and individual person that comes through that door.
Yeah.
But labels, they think en masse, and they think very differently seasonally, depending on what mood they're in and who's in charge. The industry has a love-hate relationship with that idea of customer first, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think as an artist, you got to know yourself as well, and you got to know like what works for you. And if you're making music for the masses is a specific thing. There's artists that do make music for the masses.
Yeah.
And if that's not your vibe and if that's not what you want to create, because you will have to make your music a certain type of way.
Yeah.
If you want to make music, if your goal is to reach the masses. I mean, most times, that's not to say you'll never reach the masses if you do what you want. But like most times there is a whole formula for that. There is a whole world for that. There is a whole scheme or whatever you want to call it for that. And so if you want to reach the masses, there's a way to do that. But I think I just kind of figured quite early, I was like, I'm not making music for the masses, because the masses aren't always going to hear. Do you know what I mean? And some messages aren't for the masses. Some messages are just for a group of people. Some messages are just for like one or two people. You don't need to. Yeah, it's. I think it really is just about knowing yourself.
For sure.
And if you don't, then you'll go through a bunch of different routes to get to where you are eventually.
Yeah, you end up going there. This is the ironic thing about the industry and people's perceptions and the way that they have to behave or make records or sell.
Yeah. Things.
It's interesting. With the advent of Spotify and all these crazy platforms that all have their own languages and they all have their own systems, they have their own audiences. And you know, you can make any music you love and really believe in, with and podcasts as well, you know. This is a whole new
yeah.
There's an audience for everybody. Like, and okay, to a bigger industry, it's like, well, we don't want a little of a lot. We want a lot of one thing.
Yeah.
But the truth be told, like, there's an 80s synth genre out there that love the Drive soundtrack, that love Stranger Things, and they're just obsessed with 80s synth.
No, it's big facts, and I've been saying it for ages. It's like, if you, as long as you as an artist know what you want to do, nothing else matters. Like, just go for it, because we live in a time where there is going to be an audience for you. If you want to make avant-garde music with, I don't know, glass wine bottles, I mean cups or whatever,
yeah.
Go and do it. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's going to be people that are going to want to sit down and listen to it.
Yeah.
I think we've sold each other this idea, or we live in this generation where this idea has been sold to us that, like, everything you need to do needs to be the biggest thing. It needs to be the greatest thing. It needs to be, you need to be Beyonce, or you need to be Drake. You need to be huge in order to, like, be successful. And I just
it's washed out.
It is. And I think just from having that experience of feeling like that's what I need to do,
which is a horrible feeling.
It's a horrible feeling. It's exhausting.
Yeah.
It's exhausting, and people don't,
chasing your tail the whole fucking time, bro.
It really does. It really does. And the problem with that as well is once you haven't hit that level, or if you've not accomplished what you sought out to accomplish, you then feel like a failure, and you become ungrateful for what it is you have accomplished.
Ego gets in the way as well.
100%. You feel like, you know, it blinds you to the things that you have actually accomplished, which,
oh my God, yeah,
is, that sucks. That's not a great, do you know what I mean? That's not a great place to be, where you feel like you should have been, you know, in a better place, but it makes you bitter. It makes you a bunch of things. And so, you know, I just feel like if I can help someone not feel that way, and they can see a little, they can see that you can still be content. Because I think that's a word that a lot of people don't recognize.
Yeah, you're right.
Being content is important.
You know, knowledge of self, that's what we're talking about. Because if you actually, this follows on something I was talking the other day about. So, and Prince falls into this category pretty heavily.
Okay.
So, back when we were younger, there was this, you know, whether they were Kurt Cobain or, I don't know, particularly with bands, actually, there was this feeling of, yeah, they just got plonked into this. They could have been anything. They are the man off the street. In fact, you know what? They don't even look like they want to be on stage. They look like they're just there smoking their cigarette like they would do in a dive bar. Like this kind of ownership of themselves, it that's attractive to people. And in my own way, I think to myself, like, yeah, like Kurt Cobain, for instance, and Prince and these people, it's almost like they just filled the role. And they would have been something. They knew themselves so well.
Yeah.
They held themselves so well. It's just like, do you know what I mean? Am I making sense?
Yeah, no, 100%. I think if whenever people ask me what advice I would give to an upcoming artist, I would say just have an identity.
Mm.
Because when everyone that you've mentioned, they just knew who they were. You know what I mean? Whether it works for a bunch of people or it doesn't, like, do you know what I mean? Whether people like it or they don't. If you have an identity in what you, if you have an identity in general, like, I don't even think that's just like a lesson for music. I think if you just have an identity, no one can sway you in any regard. But it's funny because it's a lot harder than people think to actually identify your identity or to find it.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, I don't know, because to me, the idea of freedom is being in a situation where you have the choice to do something. Do you know what I mean? You just have the choice. And we all have a choice, but like feeling like you have the choice to do something and kind of going, oh, I don't need to do that.
That's money though, isn't it? That's money though that does that, doesn't it?
I'll explain it this way. If someone was to come up to me and be like, I'm going to offer you £1 million to do whatever.
Yeah.
And I go, it's not for me. I don't have £1 million, but I'm like, and I probably need that £1 million, but I just kind of go, no, I'm good. I don't need it because I just don't want to do that thing. That to me is freedom.
Yeah. And that's the thing that I feel like, you know, you hear those stories like Will I Am and Black Eyed Peas turned down God knows how much to do. That's confidence and freedom.
Yeah. I don't feel like you need to do. It's really just about being given the choice or the option to do something. And you're put in a position where it feels like this could be make or break.
Yeah.
And you can still confidently sit there and be like, I don't want to do it.
God, that is just I feel that's quite liberating.
No, that's literally what liberation is. I believe that you cannot sway me with things, because I believe that that's when you're actually a slave to. You become a slave to those things. Like you're a slave to the bag. Do you know what I mean? You're a slave to all these things here. If I can confidently look you in the eye and be like, I don't want to do that because it just doesn't suit what I want to do. That's liberation. That's freedom to me. It's not I'm doing this. I'm free. I don't think any of that matters. It's the ability to have self-control. It's the ability to have discipline is actual freedom.
Totally.
Yeah.
On a side note, actually, this is something that I've been observant to for the last maybe month. Wiley.
Mm.
Now, this could go spicy. It depends on where you are politically, what your feelings and thoughts are. It's not about that where I'm coming from, although I'm sure it should be. But the point I'm making is, I've been seeing Wiley on Instagram again.
Oh, is he back? I didn't even realize.
Yeah, he'd been doing something on some low level, but his identity, his impact that he owns at a scene, and for tenaciousness and sheer drive and determination at the face of a whole entire industry that either hates him or doesn't want to be associated with him.
Mm.
I have, when you switch on to what he's doing right now, I got to hand his tenacity, man. I'm like, yo, he is not fucking phased. He's just like gunning.
Yeah.
And okay, with every good reason, the penalization that he received, I think was worthy. I have to give it to him, however, that, you know, the cockroach does not die easily.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I mean that affectionately.
Yeah.
I just find if most artists have the attitude that he has, where he's not dependent on something, he's not dependent on a platform, he's not dependent on anything. He's just so...
He's just doing his thing.
Yeah. And I'm like, yo, like, okay, maybe not maybe Wiley's just the case study, but there's something liberating about that shit.
Yeah.
Where you don't care anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think most of the time, the reason why people won't say anything or won't do anything is fear. Do you know what I mean? It's fear of what's going to, you know, fear of what's going to happen if you say this, fear of what's going to happen if you don't say this, fear of, you know, just whatever. And a lot of, I mean, there's been so many situations where people have been put in that position to be at the level that like he's at, or I guess was at or whatever, and still be able to be like, I don't care. I'm just going to say how I feel because I can. And, you know, see, there's still be repercussions and reactions to it and still continue. Yeah. I respect that highly as well.
Yeah. It's respect. It is respect. And it's also like you were saying, and this is all following on from the liberation side of just doing because you are extremely versed at this. So I know the conversation is in good hands. when you look at what people like Wiley are doing, it's the 2021 equivocal of maybe as a case study what most artists should be doing. And I think in years to come, when all the dust has blown over, and you know, it's happened to some of the, you know, Tekashi 6ix9ine, he just seems to just keep on riding, you know.
We're in a better position. I think we're just in a better position now to do it. Yeah. As an industry of artists and stuff, like, you can't really, and again though, I do think that a lot of that comes back down to the idea of social media and all that sort of stuff and everything, because you know, as long as you know you're gonna have people, there's some people that don't, you know, care at all, that there's people that are gonna support them, but there's a lot of people that are like, man, I got a bunch of people that will support me based off of whatever I say, and so run with it. But yeah, I think it's we're in a better position to be able to say what we want and do what we want now as artists.
With all the resources that with all the resources that we have. And
yeah, for sure.
It's come a long way.
Yeah, for sure.
The song Still Broke, like, do you feel that way?
I did, and I have done. It was, you know, it was a very, because I guess for a lot of people, I think a lot of people think that it was a financial thing. It's not a financial thing. It was an internal thing.
Yeah.
And the song dealt with, I guess, a bit more like depression and character and, you know, having a degree of self-awareness and being able to look at myself and go, oh wait, I'm not as good of a person as maybe I think I am. I don't have as good of a character as I thought I maybe did. And that's something I need to work on. And having all of these things hasn't changed that, and it's not going to change that. And recognizing that and wanting to do something about it. I don't feel that way anymore, but I think a lot of that has just been because I've recognized it and I'm doing what I need to do to, you know, better myself as a person. And my faith has played a big part in that as well, you know.
Right, nice.
You know, like, yeah, just really being able to surrender myself more to God and really be able to, a lot of the liberation comes from that for me personally as well.
I was gonna say, for sure.
It's not like, I think I had to learn as well to not perceive my faith as a religion as well. I had to perceive it more as a relationship. And the minute I started doing that, because when you perceive, I think when you think about, I don't know, I could get a bit whatever here, but like, I perceive religion as work. Religion is to me.
Elaborate that.
I perceive religion as work because it's a structured thing that you have to constantly do.
Like, you have to water the flower.
Yes, you have. Yeah, like, it's, you have to do it. You're not, for crying out loud.
Could get it.
Sorry. You have to do it because you're You have to do it because you have to, or because there's something that you're going to gain from doing these things and like abiding by these rules and tasks and some and so on and so forth. But the way I look at, you know, being a Christian and my faith is that it should be relationship, and we have made it religion to some degree. A lot of it can be, and it can be religion if you allow it to be as well. I think everything in life, as I've said, is a choice. So if you choose to make it religion, it will be religion. But for me, it became this idea of, I had to start perceiving it like my relationships with my family or friends. That's not effort. It's not effort to like, to love someone and be there for someone and to just do what, you know, do what I can for that person and to, you know, to just talk to a friend or just be there for someone and then be there for you. And so when I started looking at it from that perspective, it makes having a relationship with God less of a burden.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then in turn, you start perceiving everything a little different because you're no longer doing these things to gain something.
Mm.
And I think that's a big thing as well. If you're doing something to gain something, it's always going to be a sticky situation. You're not really going to truly find the peace that you want. But yeah, if you're doing it to gain, then it's going to be harder. But, you know, doing it because it's coming from a place of love and doing it because I just want to. And want a deeper relationship. That really helped and changed. That's really helped and changed everything for me. And it's really helped and changed the way I perceive people, look at people, you know, am with people, and just so on and so forth. Yeah,
for sure. That's fucking awesome. It's great you bring this up because religion, you know, it has connotations to it, and I think people, you know, the structure that suggests.
Yeah.
I think people forget that you can be religious to, you know, drugs. You can be religious to showing up to the pub.
This is very, very big facts. A lot of people don't look at, they don't perceive that they think religion is just whatever, but it really is like, no, if I'm giving up myself to the, and that also then comes back to this idea of liberation, because essentially you're a slave to those types of things. And I think sometimes people don't look at religion as, people just can only just look at religion as, you know, yeah, these things, but it's more, it is really, you can worship other things, you know, you can worship yourself and, you know, it's a weird one.
Did your vocal abilities, did it start from a faith point of view? Did it start in church? Did it start in the halls of your school? Where did that journey begin? Like, where did you find this voice, man?
Yeah, my dad's a reverend, so I grew up in the church. And,
hey, I got thought so. That's fire.
Yeah. So I grew up in the church, and everything. I was playing drums from when I was maybe about four. And then just started learning other instruments as I was going along. I was just picking them up. I didn't start singing till I was maybe, singing was the last thing I did. I think I was playing drums when I was about four, I think keys about age of 14, maybe a little younger. Or was I playing guitar? No, and then I learned how to play guitar at like maybe the age of 15, 16, and then by like 17 or 18, I just decided to start singing.
And you know what it is, bro? It's like these structures, these fundamental disciplines that you have been brought up with in your life, they determine the outcomes that are set. Like these skill sets that you have, mad.
Yeah. And it was weird because obviously at the time I didn't perceive them as like, It's just like, oh, I can do this. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah, sick. I've been blessed with this gift, but I didn't perceive it as... It's one thing to have the gift. It's like another thing to recognize sort of the purpose. And so I kind of was just, I could do it. And then eventually I think as I've gotten older, I've kind of realized, oh wait, no, I need to be doing more with this, you know?
Yeah, and then, man. And what's the point in a car with no destination?
No, honestly, for real.
Yeah.
But yeah, I grew up in the church and learned pretty much everything that I know through, and to, you know, some degree, I still am learning everything that I know from there. But yeah, I fell away from it for a while and then came back at some point. Yeah. And I think when it became, again, a choice, I think when it was like something that I knew I wanted to do and it wasn't just my, you know, parents.
Faith gives you gut. Faith gives you instinct.
Big facts. Mm. Yeah, it's true.
Religion aside, it's like if you've got an intuition inside you, if you've got something inside you that says, yeah, this is the one.
Yeah.
No, you know, you can't falter. You don't falter, do you?
Yeah, for sure.
So what's the future? What's the plan?
Oh.
Where's the destination?
So there's a bunch of things I want to do. I think my focus at the moment is obviously this project, finishing, having this project out.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to keep creating. I don't know on what level, you know, but I've become quite, what's the word? I think this pandemic's really excited me in regards to the idea of like being creative.
Yeah.
And just wanting to like do that more. I've been writing stories and coming up with concepts and stuff. And, you know, I'm totally into film and TV series and stuff like that. So just been trying to do, you know, little bits for that and come up with like new stories and stuff. I'm a massive comic nerd. So, excuse me, been working on like a graphic novel.
Yo, you need to check out Proctor Valley Road comic.
Proctor Valley Road?
Yeah. Big up my boy Trip. He's just written a comic and it's just come out. Yeah, you'll dig that. It's
sick. Amazing. I'll definitely check that out. Yeah, I mean, I've totally gotten so into independent, comic creators and stuff like that because obviously I want to do it. So I'm just like, it's great finding out about new people and stuff like that.
You know,
that.
I should connect you with him because, like, he's doing some really cool things at the moment. He's, you know, comics are like, they're like your entry hole to, crazy script writing and things like that.
Yeah.
These things are testing beds, aren't they?
It really has, like, I think I've actually learned how to script write through writing my graphic novel. so it's, you know, because it's quite a similar structure in regards to writing them. So it's been great. It's been amazing being able to do that. I've been like doing some clothing design stuff as well. So just been going a little deeper into the, you know, I'm starting off with a merch, but like we're going a little deeper into it now. And just been working on building that and stuff. So it's just been, I mean, I just want to try a bunch of things, you know, and see what happens. I'm feeling just excited to just do new things. So,
Sun's shining, baby. The sun's out there.
It really is, man. It really is. I'm very excited. Yeah. And then hopefully more music will come. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, yeah, viva la Sam Henshaw, man. Big up yourself.
Appreciate it, bro.
Bro, seriously, it's awesome to hear your form and it gives people a great introduction. Those who've just been introduced to you just to know the ins and outs, the 360 of talent that's going on over there.
Oh, bless you, man. Thank you so much for having me. This has been a great conversation.
Yeah, man. Hold tight. Don't leave just yet, but I'm going to say goodbye to everybody before we drop out.
All good, man.
There you go, Sam Henshaw. You know the drill. Go follow him. Go show some love. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Send those shares and all that around. Still Broke is out. Get involved. Killer Keller Podcast. We are like in was out of fashion. Thanks for joining me, Sam. Big up.
Thank you so much, man. Thank you, bro.
You stay lucky, people. Till next week. Peace.